Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the polar vortex of free speech. Why? Why, you may ask? Hey, Mr. T, why?
Man, it's cold out here.
Well, yeah, I would say so. Okay, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. RBN needs an air conditioner. Okay, so with that out of the way, this week there's been, you know, all this stuff going on. There's the Kanye cost, the fake elections, bunch of stuff going on. Sometimes it, you know, gets hard to keep up with everything. I don't know if Jeremy and I talked about it, or if Cato and I talked about it, or maybe Filbert and I on Monday. I can't remember. But I know I talked about it a little bit with Dr. Duke on his show. You got this whole FTX thing going on, and it's crypto, and crypto is not my strong suit. I mean, I know blockchain technology, I know a little bit about it, but honestly, I don't really know the whole business thing of FTX. I know that if you're going to do crypto, you likely need to have a wallet. These wallets are hooked up to exchanges. I think Coinbase, I thought Coinbase was a big one, but I know there's this Chinese firm that I guess wound up blowing the whistle on FTX, which is totally Jewish. It is totally Jewish. And that's one thing I do know a thing or two about. I do get tired of talking about Jews. I do get tired of it. And I wish they would give it a break with the scheming, so I wouldn't have to talk about them so much. But you got this fat 30-year-old kid who's been a billionaire for a little while, at least. Rich enough that he's the number two donor to the Democratic Party, I guess, in this most recent cycle for the midterms. I guess he was second behind George Soros. I think 2 years ago in the presidential election, he was the second biggest donor to the Biden, following Michael Bloomberg. Talking about a lot of Jews here, okay? And, well, okay, so there's an awful lot of I can't talk the whole show about this because it's really beyond my understanding. I'm talking about it now just because I'm recognizing it's important. Everybody should recognize it's important. Huge amounts of money are going around. And if you want the latest details, I'm not really, or the most in-depth details and analysis of it, I'm not necessarily the best person. But if you're somebody who listens to this show regularly and depends on it for at least a certain share of your information and analyses, then I need to talk a little bit about it. So there are a variety of angles. So this guy, what's his name? Bankman-Fried, I think is his name. What's Samuel Bankman-Fried, which is, well, Samuel is Shmuel. It's pretty Jewish. And Bankman-Fried, that's like saying Mastodon, you know? Because that's the Mastodon in the room. So, very Jewy guy. He's got a girlfriend. The girlfriend, I saw her for the first time on Tucker's show tonight. He played a clip of her, and she's dumpy, and not particularly, she's rather homely and dumpy, but, you know, birds of a feather and all that. And of course, he does live on an island in a house with like 15 people engaged in some sort of like ongoing orgy. It's weird stuff. So, you know, I guess why not? He's got a dumpy girlfriend. Why not? And I don't know if she's Jewish or not. Her last name, I can't remember what it is, but I think it's something like Morrison. It doesn't, could be, I mean, it could be Jewish, you never know. And he's a MIT professor, and people talk about him teaching in the same department as Gary Gensler, and I don't know how close they are. they might be close. MIT's not that huge, and if you're in the same department, if you're on the same faculty, you know, you would be acquainted with each other. At a minimum, you're going to the same faculty meetings. They may have been close. I don't know. But Gary Gensler is supposedly the person, well, supposedly, he's the head of the Securities Exchange Commission, so he is largely responsible for regulating this guy's company. This guy's company got huge. Did they have the naming rights to the Golden State Warriors Arena? I think it was something like that. So they're huge. Somebody sent me, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes around, and I don't have the time to verify everything, but somebody sent me what looked like a seminar or a symposium that was going to be held at the New York Times, and the featured guests were this Samuel Bankman-Fried and I think Gary Gensler, Janet Yellen. Was it Gary Gensler? Janet Yellen was on there. And I would suppose by video link, Vladimir, I know his name's supposedly Volodymyr, but I'm not going to say it. I don't want my mouth to get dirty. Vladimir Zelensky supposedly was going to be on that panel, and was there some other Jew? It was all Jews. And I guess that's being canceled. And, you know, not just all Jews, but really, really vicious, slimy Jews. Vicious and or slimy. Probably mostly a lot more and than or. So there's just a lot of this. There is this link, which I'm not going to be the best at explaining, but there is this link with Ukraine. I think an awful lot of money was being sent to Ukraine via crypto, via this FTX. Why? I'm not exactly sure, but it seems that there was a lot of fundage, because it's perfectly okay to send fundage to Volodymyr Zelensky, who's only trying to start World War III. So a lot of it was going through that. This Samuel Bankman-Fried guy, he was supposedly pillaging the wallets, the crypto wallets of his customers. Certainly left a lot of people in the lurch. I know that Dr. Duke has talked a lot about it. I have been on his show while he talked about it. I really don't have that much to add, because there's so much stuff going on, and you can only follow so much, what with the fake election, the Kanye cost, and oh, did I mention World War III? There's only so much that you can follow. I mean, this Jewish scheming is really, really. I mean, John Stewart, I played him on the show yesterday. John Stewart, you want to have a conversation? Yeah, let's have a conversation. Or was it Seinfeld who wanted the conversation? But there's an awful lot of scheming going on. This is big time scheming. You could compare it to the scheming of Epstein, the scheming of Bernie Madoff. By the way, they're all Jews. Why is there this much Jewish scheming going on? At some point, it does stop being a coincidence. It was a good line from Dave Chappelle about black criminals being a gang, Italian criminals being a mob, and Jewish criminals being a coincidence. But at some point, it stops being a coincidence. By the way, was it Seinfeld? Where did I see this? I saw this definition of anti-Semitism. Where did I see it? I was reading it today. It really stuck out in my mind, because the definition of anti-Semitism, it was a conspiracy theory that purports that Jewish people are secretly conspiring to rule the world. Something of that type. Secretly. And so I'm really gratified by that, because obviously I'm not an anti-Semite, because I don't think there's anything secret about it. It's not secret. It's out in the open. And that's all I talk about. I don't talk about secret stuff. I talk about stuff that's out in the open. So, and honestly, it does make me not an anti-Semite by any kind of meaningful definition. I'm just talking about facts that are out in the open. Is it not a fact that Samuel Bankman-Fried is a Jew and a mega criminal? Is it not a fact that Epstein was a Jew and a mega criminal? Is it not a fact that Bernie Madoff was a Jew and a mega criminal? Vladimir Zelensky, is he not a Jew and trying to get us into a nuclear World War III? I mean, you look at these people, it's just Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas, and Janet Yellen, George Soros, all these people, very, very nefarious people, and they're a bunch of Jews. I get sick of talking about the Jews, but there you go. And then sometimes I hear people will talk about, oh, the globalists are planning such and such. If you're not talking about Jewish power, your analyses necessarily are going to be off mark. They're necessarily going to be off mark. For instance, if you're shooting at something, let's just say you're shooting at a target, and the target's far away, and you're pointing your gun, your tank, whatever, you're pointing, and you're not taking gravity into account, are you going to hit that target? I mean, maybe if it's right up in front of your face, maybe if it's point blank, you're going to hit it. But the big picture, no, you're not going to hit it. You're going to be way off the mark. And that's, all these people are off the mark because they won't talk about, they have their eyes closed, they have their ears closed, they have their nose closed. It's all closed. So, with this Bankman-Fried thing, FTX, how much money's really at stake? I mean, I've heard Dr. Duke say something like $1 trillion. And my question is, how much of that $1 million was just nominal, on paper bubble kind of money? Because remember, a lot of people bought crypto. They bought Bitcoin, for instance, at a low price and sat on it, and it went from, you know, hundreds of dollars up to $50,000 per Bitcoin, something like that. And these people then were crypto millionaires. They had a huge amount of, they thought they had a huge amount of money, but it was in crypto, and they hadn't used very much non-crypto money in order to acquire it. In other words, their crypto fortunes were based on an initial investment that represented maybe a little bit of their work, right? Let's just say if you bought, say, $5,000 worth of crypto, and let's just say you're a middle-class person, maybe that, does that equal a month of your work? A month of your work, and then you invest it back in, 2015 or 20 whatever, invest it in Bitcoin, and then 6-7 years later, your Bitcoin wallet, it shows that you are worth many millions of dollars. Okay, and then let's just say you lose that. What have you lost? Have you lost many millions of dollars, or have you lost that 1 month of work that constituted the initial investment? So, there you go. I don't know. But, of course, when people think they have, when people think their investment portfolio, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's stocks, whether it's bonds, whether it's real estate, when they think their investment portfolio is worth a great deal, they will adopt a lifestyle accordingly. And then if that portfolio, and not just lifestyle, but also they may take on debts in order to get that lifestyle. They might take on a big mortgage, not worrying about the big mortgage, because they've got all that crypto. Well, then all of a sudden, the crypto's gone, and they're underwater. I mean, obviously, if even in a kind of nominal way, there is, you know, many billions or tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars that are vanishing, well, that's going to have major repercussions. Now, one other aspect of this that gets talked about is the potential for this to be used in order to not just regulate crypto, but also to launch a digital currency, the so-called digital currency that would replace the dollar or would become the new format of the dollar. Honestly, the dollar has changed formats in the past. So, I'm somebody who is a coin collector. And I know a little bit about the history of American coinage, of the American dollar. And if you were to go back a couple hundred years, it was silver-based. And I remember as a kid, you know, there were some old dollar bills. And I knew that if you went back before, say, 1930, the dollar bills were bigger. That around, you know, 1930 or so, suddenly the dollar bills got smaller. And I also knew that I didn't see dollar bills. Like, if I was trying to look back before the Civil War, I really didn't see them. You did see gold for a while. So we always had these silver dollars. And, you know, you can go back and get a, you know, I've got, my favorite coin is a 1926 half dollar. It's silver. It's in extra fine condition. I got it for what, like $25 back in 1969, maybe? Something like that. And I've had a bunch of silver dollars, but my silver dollars were mostly Morgan dollars. I had a couple Liberty dollars. I don't think I had anything older than a Morgan dollar, but there were silver dollars going way back. It's just that they were expensive and I was a kid and I couldn't afford them. And I had to save an awful lot of allowance to get that half dollar, which I still have. The silver dollars I didn't buy. The silver dollars were brought by the Tooth Fairy. And of course, the thing is, the United States was using silver coinage for dimes up. Dimes, quarters, half dollars, and silver dollars to the extent they were in circulation. They were using that, minting them until 1964. In fact, the Kennedy half dollars had a certain amount of silver even in 1965. And so silver was still in circulation in the 1960s when I was being visited by the Tooth Fairy. And so I had how many teeth do you have? How many baby teeth do you have? I had a silver dollar for every baby tooth, I'll tell you that much. At one point I sold a few because I needed to raise some quick money so I could hitchhike to Canada. But otherwise, I still have them. Well, okay, so
you've got the magic touch. Ooh. It makes me glow so much. Ooh. It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm, it's like a foralarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch.
We learned from the recent election. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system before cold and flu season. All of the polls before Tuesday's election predicted a huge red tidal wave, but what really happened was more like a red sun shower. What does this indicate? It could mean that the polls are just aren't relevant or reliable anymore. It could mean that Republican voters took massive wins for granted and just didn't turn out to vote. Some will say it's more proof of fraud or a selection rather than an election. I think the results show that far too many people put party politics above their own best interest. Polls showed that the economy and inflation were the number one priority of voters, and polls also showed that voters believe Republicans are better at handling those issues. But voters have been told for years that Republicans are racist Nazis. So maybe many people just won't vote Republican despite believing Republican candidates represent their own best interest. After all, who could vote for Hitler just because milk got too expensive? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Right on out of my arms. Still I feel you a free lover. Your wonderful charms. Lips that once were mine. Tender eyes that shine. They will light our way tonight. Baby, and I'll see you in my dreams. And I'll see you in my dreams.
I do Canada, but otherwise I still have them. Well, okay, so we had metallic money, we had silver, largely silver. There, it was augmented by gold, especially after the 1840s with the gold rush, so you had gold that was circulating as well. But so it was metallic, largely metallic. And then I think it was around the Civil War when, of course, there was a lot of deficit spending, and so a lot of greenbacks were printed, a lot of paper money. And paper money, you know, it circulated alongside silver and at times gold. Like I said, the silver actually lasted until the 1960s, although the paper was becoming more and more important. Well, so by, you know, 1965, they stopped minting silver coins. The dollar was, the paper money was the thing. And by the way, the paper money was mostly Federal Reserve notes. There were Treasury notes that were circulating, They had the red seal, whereas the Federal Reserve notes have the green seal. That's how you knew the difference. And you had silver certificates that were explicitly backed by silver, but they were still paper money. And at times there were even gold certificates that were in circulation. But when I was a kid, you would see, and I'm talking about in the 1960s, you would see the $1, I guess $1 bills, there were silver certificates there. You would see silver certificates for $5 bills. They had the blue seals. And then the you saw red seals on $2 bills and on $5 bills. Were you seeing? I mean, I wasn't seeing very many $10 bills when I was a kid, because that was a lot of money. But and then otherwise you saw the green ones. But it was paper. It was paper. Now, of course, in the 1960s, I don't know when credit cards really started. You did have these. It may have started with like department store credit. But I remember driving around, going on vacation in the 60s or in the early 70s, and you'd pass by restaurants and you'd see signs. They didn't call it Visa at the time. They called it Bank AmeriCard. So you'd see signs for Bank AmeriCard or for MasterCard. Is that what they called it? Or MasterCharge? I guess they called it MasterCharge, not MasterCard. And Diners Club. Diners Club was there. And American Express. You'd see these signs out in front of restaurants. And, of course, the plastic, it wasn't as electronic as it is now. There's a lot of boomers in the audience and they know what I'm talking about, but you had those raised digits, those raised numbers and letters on the card, and the system was, the card would be placed in this metallic holding device, and carbon paper, like a carbon paper receipt type of thing, would be placed on top of it, and there was some sort of roller that would roll on it, and you'd get the impression of the raised plastic numbers and letters. You would get that on the carbon paper, and that's how you charge things. But that came into, you know, that was already fairly in wide use in the 1960s. So you're getting more and more of this, effectively, you know, the charge. You know, it's ultimately, maybe originally it was, these records were kept with, on hard copy paper and pencil and that type of thing. But, you know, in the 1960s, my father was, involved in computers and he helped set up the, computer system for, what was it, the Bank of New York? So, this was going on, and so you already started having digital money, effectively digital money in the 1960s, and it's gotten more and more and more and more common. And now it's, you know, to what extent does paper money matter? How many people use paper money? I tell you, in Japan, they use an awful lot of paper money. There have been credit cards in Japan going back decades, but people still use an awful lot of paper money in Japan. But China, which is a latecomer,
oh yes, I'm the great pretender, pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender, adrift in a world of my own.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Understand the man.
There have been credit cards in Japan going back decades, but people still use an awful lot of paper money in Japan. But China, which is a latecomer, China never had much of a landline phone system, it jumped right to cell phones, and so cell phones are ubiquitous, and they didn't have the traditional credit card system. And so they were able to jump right to this kind of smart app, this digital money. So they've gone into it. They've dove right into it. But still, Americans largely shop with credit cards, as it is now. And that's all electronic. Why am I saying this? My point is that We are largely on the way to digital money as it is. And I'm not saying that so that you're not scared of digital money. I'm saying that because you should actually already be scared. The financial records are there for the taking and very likely are being taken. There are all these transactions. I tell you one thing, if you ever go to a libertarian kind of meeting, that's where you see the cash. At least 10 years ago, I went to some libertarian kind of meetings, and the libertarians carry cash because, not all of them, but a lot of them, because they don't like the idea of the digital money. They like silver. Anyway, I tell you what, we're more than halfway through November. We've only got about 6 weeks left in the year, and then we're going off to another year. And honestly, like, my life is pretty good. I'm thankful. Me and my crew, we're all healthy. That never lasts forever, so you've got to be thankful while you can. So I am thankful. On the other hand, when I look out at the world, we've had some bad years. We've had three really bad years in a row. How about 2019? 2019, was that so great? I mean, that you had the fake impeachment of Trump was going on. So even that wasn't so great. But I mean, 2020, when 2020 first started, you had that assassination of General Soleimani. I thought, wow, we're getting off to a bad start. What was that, January 3rd? Little did I know, that was like the bright point of the whole year. Then you had the corona apocalypse and everybody getting locked inside their houses and completely freaked out, and 50 million Americans getting pushed out of work. You're not allowed to exercise. All this craziness, unless you're, you know, the Black Riots. You had the Black Riots culminating in the fake election. That was a bad year. 2021, how does that start off? Well, you have Stop the Steal, January 6th. And then January 6th, it's obviously infiltrated by FBI and other feds in such a way that you wound up with the objective of Stop the Steal. The way forward on January 6th was to object to every single state. Well, that got shut down. That got shut down because of the Fed-led walk-in to the Capitol, breaking of windows. That's what it was, breaking of windows. And that stymied, that thwarted the only viable strategy for moving forward. And it finalized the fake election. And then you had the coronavirus went on to the next phase, which was forced vaccinations. Forced vaccinations of people. People, you know, just more and more of this. You had the Trump supporters being insurrectionists. They were called insurrectionists. You had Trump himself censored bigly. You had the mass censorship. 2021 was bad. 2022, well, it could be worse. It could be raining. Yeah, raining down nuclear holocaust, perhaps. So, 2022, we've had all this, you know, we've been on the brink of World War III. The corona stuff hasn't gone away. It's eased up a bit. There's less pressure for the vaccines. But, of course, a lot of people who didn't want the vaccines have lost their jobs. They didn't get it back. So you just got so much stuff. What I would like to do, this is not a call-in show, but if it was a call-in show, I would invite people to say, okay, looking into 2023, oh, by the way, 2022, we just had an election hoax too, but looking into 2023, what's the next big hoax? What can they possibly hoax up next? That's what I'd like to know. Okay. I'm going to take a little break. I'll be right back. All right. Well, this is the next morning, and I'm getting ready to go about my day. And I was thinking about what we were talking about last night and the FTX thing. So here's the thing. Earlier, last night, I mentioned that I'd gotten some information from someone, and it was a screenshot. And a screenshot of I'll read it to you. This is a screenshot of a tweet from a Jeremy Lofredo, who is somebody I'm not familiar with. There's a blue check there, but, you know, when you just get a screenshot, it's a JPEG. It doesn't have a link to the original article. That's the type of thing that, you know, sometimes, like for fun, Andrew Anglin will manufacture these screenshots that are jokes. And so you always have to be careful. But it says, next week, the New York Times, in partnership with WEF, World Economic Forum partner, Accenture is supposed to be hosting a live event with Sam Bankman-Fried. Sitting next to him will be Zelensky, Zuckerberg, and U.S. Treasury's Janet Yellen. Well, okay, so I was, you know, out with on my dog walk when I was recording last night. But today, so I've come back, and I did a Google search, and I did the Google search for Accenture, Zelensky, Zuckerberg, Yellen. And what I get is a from NewYorkTimes.com, New York Times, and this is in their business section, the Deal Book newsletter. And it says, Yellen, Zelensky, and Zuckerberg will speak at Deal Book Summit. The conference, scheduled for November 30th, will bring together the biggest newsmakers in business, politics, and culture. Okay, well, let's keep going. Oh, this is written by Andrew Ross Sorkin, very Jewish name, Ravi Mathew, which I assume is Indian, Bernhard Werner, which is likely Jewish, Vivian Jiang, that, what would that be? Probably Chinese, some sort of Oriental Chinese, or perhaps Korean, Sarah Kessler, another Jew, Stefan Gandel, maybe Jewish, I'm not sure, Michael J. de la Merced, probably Hispanic, Lauren Hirsch, probably a Jew, and Efrat Livni, obviously a Jew, probably an Israeli, right? You had Zippy Livni was the Israeli foreign minister for all those years. Okay, anyway, let's keep going. It's a very Jewish article at a very Jewish newspaper. Jewish article at a Jewish newspaper. Meet our 2022 conference speakers. Okay, we are pleased to announce our lineup for the Deal Book Summit to be held at Jazz at Lincoln Center, Big Opera Cultural Center, huge Lincoln Center in New York City on November 30th. So this is a big gala affair. The Lincoln Center is huge. It's like the Kennedy Center, but in New York. It's like the Kennedy Center, only for Jews. No, Andrew, whoever that is, Andrew will host a series of conversations with the biggest newsmakers in the world of business, politics, and culture. Among the speakers will be, and presumably this one is by video link, I don't expect he would come to America just for this, President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, Mark Zuckerberg, Meta's co-founder, chairman, and CEO, Xiao Chu, TikTok's CEO, Mike Pence, former Vice President of the United States and inspiration for Race Bannon on the Johnny Quest cartoon, Andy Jassy, Amazon's CEO, who's Jewish, by the way. You know, Bezos was not Jewish, but they had to get a Jew I guess, in order to remain viable. So he got a Jew running the show. Reed Hastings, Netflix co-founder and CEO. I don't know what his ethnic background is, but I had a professor with the name Hastings who was Jewish, so I'm just saying that. Mayor Eric Adams of New York, okay? He's the black guy who's running New York now. Larry Fink, BlackRock's chairman and CEO. Now, I mean, BlackRock, okay, that's a big deal. They are the largest investment firm, at least they are in terms of funds under management. It's largely ETFs. And he's very Jewish, obviously. BlackRock is very Jewish. And wait for it, Sam Bankman-Fried, FTX's CEO. And then finally, they've got a Priscilla Sims Brown Amalgamated Bank's CEO. I don't know Amalgamated Bank, and I don't know Priscilla. But anyway, super Jewish affair. I mean, wow, you can register to join us in person here. Super Jewish affair. Okay, you might have noticed that I'm continuing with the Platters, as the Platters are doing our theme music today, because this is, and I was corrected by Jeremy, this is Black People Appreciation Month. Yesterday I was saying it is Black Celebrity Appreciation Month, and Jeremy has informed me, well, I asked him, and he's informed me that no, actually, this is Black People, because Black people, while they may not be that great at math, they may commit some crime. Oh, let's just say, Black people don't have a filter. And this is what we need now. We need, and you know, white people, white people, you will get a few white people who will Fed post. Occasionally, you get a white person who does something absolutely retarded and goes out and shoots things up. And then, of course, the rest of the white people, not the rest of them, but some of the white people then say, well, that never happened. It's all crisis actors or whatever. Let's face it, it happens at least from time to time. And the Fed posting is no good. But, you know, what do we need? Okay, if we can't vote our way out, we can't shoot our way out, can't Fed post our way out, we can talk. What we need is what the black people are doing and saying it's the Jews. Look at these guys, they're Jews. They don't have a filter, and they're saying it, they're pointing it out. Who is going to point out that these were Jews? Did Jeremy Loffredo, whoever he is, did he point it out? He's got a white-looking face, could be Hispanic, I don't know. He didn't point it out. He's got a picture of these four Jews, Bankman-Fried, Zelensky, Zuckerberg, Yellen. He's got these four Jews. Is he pointing out they're Jews? No, he's not. Now, but you got these blacks who are coming out. And, okay, so yeah, blacks tend to be more violent, and they tend to not be as good at math and commit more crime and whatnot. But also, they tend not to be, well, I'm going to try to modify the Ebonics, beach arse wussies. Who are beach arse wussies? Well, I'm not talking about the RBN listeners, but let's face it. Basically, any white person with a platform, you know, big platforms like Tucker or whatever, they tend to be beach arse wussies, and they filter out everything that's really, really vital. But anyway, this is big, and if people start, there are some dots here to be connected. If people would connect a few of these dots, so you got Bankman-Fried, Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, and you know, just for this one conference, you had Larry Fink of BlackRock, all these Jews, Zuckerberg, the you know, main social media person. Then you also had the Jew who was parachuted in by Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos being a beach arse wussy, saying, "I'm sorry, I had so much business success. I'm sorry, as a goy, having so much business success. I promise I'll let a Jew run the show," which is the exact same thing he did with the Washington Post. "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a goy. I shouldn't be running a major newspaper. I'll get an Israeli to do it." And he brings in that guy Barron, whatever, David Barron. This is, I mean, they're beach arse wussies. They can't do it. But then you've got Kanye. I mean, even when he's tired and he needs to get some sleep, he's still like, okay, I'm not going to do it tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on the Jews. That is called not having a filter, and that is called not being a beach arse wussy. All right? So there's something to be learned here, and we appreciate it, because, you know, honestly, when we got our back against the wall the way we do, and we're complaining about genocide, and we're complaining about this, well, I tell you what, the genocide, there is...
They
night. All day, said someday you'll find all who love are blind.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, at twilight time. Sweet and simple way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you together. At last, at twilight time, together. At last, at twilight time.
Appreciate it because, you know, honestly, when we got our back against the wall the way we do, and we're complaining about genocide, and we're complaining about this. Well, I tell you what, the genocide. There is black violence against whites. All right, there is. And also whites are supporting a largely white taxpayer base is supporting a largely black welfare class. Largely. And yet, that's not what's really, if we're talking about genocide, that's not what's really the main part of it. Okay, the main part of it is well, everything that we talk about. I mean, the massive propagandizing. It wasn't the blacks. It's not even the blacks who are pushing blacks as black men as the ideal mates for white women. That's not even blacks who are doing that. That's Jews who are doing it. The blacks are having fun with it. Were the blacks pushing the vaccine? Were the blacks pushing the wars? No, they're not. In fact, blacks have they were more vaccine hesitant than whites. Blacks have been, you know, even though they're often apolitical, blacks have been overrepresented in a lot of anti-war demonstrations I've been to, and certainly way underrepresented in the people actually pushing for these wars. So that's a big deal, and I appreciate it, because right now, this is what we need. We need people to connect the dots. We can't just say, oh my God, look at all these people who are at the this New York Times meeting. They're all globalists. They're globalists and liberals. That's not gonna do it. All right. We just got a couple minutes left. With the new Congress taking over, what could happen? How about with money to Ukraine? And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just saying, is it possible that the money to Ukraine could dry up? Most Republicans have gone along with this pretty gung-ho, but you're going to have some people who have important committee assignments or even chairmanships of committee in the House of Representatives who are going to be opposed to the Ukraine stuff. And you may have, it may become kind of bipartisan. You might have bipartisan support for sending money to Ukraine, but also bipartisan opposition. You know, these squad types, these democratic socialist types, are they going to go along with it forever? I don't know. But this type of thing could get interesting. I think what you are going to lose, even if you're going to continue to get the money going to Ukraine, you're going to lose the unanimity. It's not going to be as unanimous, and there is going to be a more substantial discussion of this in Congress. So it's all very interesting. Okay, well, I guess that does it for today. Thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.